Welcome to the Orlando North Church Podcast. Through this podcast, we hope you'll be both encouraged and challenged as you hear what God is speaking to you. Orlando North is called to go and be Christ's church to the world through the Holy Spirit by connecting people to God and to each other for His glory. More details about our church will be available at the end of this podcast. Now, enjoy this week's episode.
God, this morning we are honored and we thank you for what you are doing in this room. God, for the lives that are being changed and the lives that have been changed. God, we pray that you would be with us through the rest of this service and that, God, you would give us the ears to hear. And God, you would give me the words to speak. And that, God, we would experience you here this morning like we have never experienced you before. And God, I thank you for that. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Well, truthfully, we could really just wrap it up because for 2 weeks in a row, we've had this experience in worship that literally explains the whole series. I don't even have to go any further. We could close the Bible, close the computer, and go home, and we could say that we have worshiped, we have experienced God. But this morning, I want to talk about what we've discussed for the last 2 weeks. We've heard how we are intellectual, how we are spiritual, we are emotional. And even last week, Pastor Rob told us that we worship in one or more of these ways. And today I want to talk to the emotional side for just a minute. And I've got JoJo on keys, and he's setting the vibe. It changes everything, right? Stop playing really quick. And see, I can talk right now, and it's super serious. Play again. And now we're back to this really cool mood. Now, music sets. So, you see, music has a way of affecting us emotionally, whether we realize it or not. How many of you guys were here with us for Easter a few weeks back? Cool. How many of you remember the song we played, Because He Lives, a really popular hymn by Bill and Gloria Gaither? But we changed it just a little bit from the original composition. What we did is we took the song and made it all minors. And what a minor is technically, if you want to get technical, for those of you who know nothing about music, I'm going to blow your mind. A minor is literally the third note of a major chord flattened. That is a minor chord. So there's your music lesson for today. Mind blown, right? So a minor, when you make minors the bulk of the song, it changes the song in the way that it affects us. Minor chords you'll find in sad songs or melodic songs or really, really pretty songs. So what we did is we made that song represent the mood we were trying to give. And then as the band built and the service began to progress, what we did is we went to major chords. And what a major chord does is it adds a uplifting, happy feeling. It gives the song power. So if you have noticed at all, what JoJo literally did was he went from a minor feel to a major feel. And what it did is it completely changed the way that you feel about the music. This morning, I want you to think for just a minute. Music is powerful, right? We see throughout centuries how music has shaped culture. And whether you like today's music or not, you have to agree that music has somehow inspired or shaped society that we know today. Everything that we do is involved around that one thing. It's good. This morning, I want to do something a little bit different. And this is going to be really practical. This is going to be from my heart as the worship pastor. I've been working back and forth with Rob for like 2 or 3 weeks. And I feel like we have revised and revised and revised and revised and revised, 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 revised. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to be honest with you guys for today. I wanted to speak from my heart about what worship is and the way that I see worship. But before we get into that, I wanted to have a little fun. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's the first weekend that everybody's out of school. So we're going to have a little bit of fun before we get into it. Is that okay? Cool. Cool. So just for a minute, think of your favorite song. Whatever that song is, it can be from any decade. But just for a minute, think of your favorite song. We all have one, and I bet with that favorite song, you even remember where you were, how old you were, what you were doing, because that song connects with you emotionally. Lindsay and I had a song that was, it was our song. It was just our song. And every time the song came on, it reminded me of our relationship together. And that's cool because music has a way of capturing a moment and letting it just last forever. I grew up in the late 90s and early 2000s. And the 90s were a really weird time for fashion, but it was. It was a really weird time for fashion. But music, some of the music that came out of the 90s and 2000 has literally stuck with me today. And I'm sure for some of you guys who grew up in other decades, that music probably stuck with you guys too and is still with you today. Those are some of your favorite songs and you still sing them today. So, against my better judgment, I wanted to let you guys in on a little bit of my guilty pleasures and songs that I really like. Take this one, for instance. Right? Nobody? Nobody? We got one. Okay. What about this one? No? Okay, okay. Okay. I'm getting looks. I'm getting looks. So we're gonna move on. But I grew up in the 90s and 2000s. But my dad grew up in the 70s. So there was a part of me that felt like I grew up in the disco era. And my family was a musical family. We listened to music. My parents were worship leaders. And I felt like we grew up in music. That was our life. That was what we did. And I remember driving down the road and my dad's favorite band was Earth, Wind, and Fire. Now we're connecting with some people. And my mom grew up in the 80s. My mom grew up in the 80s. So big hair. I think the 80s were crazier clothes than the 90s, if I'm being honest. But my mom grew up in the 80s. So some of the music we would sing, and one of them is this. Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere. See, everybody in the room is literally just have flashbacks, right? Whether you were born in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, or the sad thing, and I was putting this message together, and I realized that there were people in here that weren't even born in 2000. Jonathan plays electric guitar, was born in 96. That's 1 year prior to Britney Spears coming out with that song. And I'm like, I didn't realize the age that I'm already getting, and I'm only 25. And I'm looking at all these songs, I'm like, man. But I connect with Earth, Wind, and Fire. I connect with Whitney Houston. I connect with all of these because it's music and it connects with us emotionally. And we've all had flashbacks in some way. We all have that song that connects to our relationship or that song that reminds us of a time in our life. And Aldous Huxley says this, my favorite quote ever. He says, next to silence, that which expresses the inexpressible is music. Next to silence, that which expresses the inexpressible is music. Music has a way of picking up where our words left off. Music has a way of connecting with us emotionally like nothing else can. The psalmist says this in Psalm 40, verse 5. He says, many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you planned for us, none can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sometimes words simply aren't enough to express how we're feeling. Sometimes words are not enough to express just how great God is. So we lend ourselves to music and the way that we express ourselves through that. Now, let's put that in context of worship. We've had fun, but I want to be serious. I want to be both serious and practical. I want to give you something this morning that you can take away from today. So putting it in the context of worship, we're currently in a series on worship called That Thing You Do. And I am absolutely honored beyond any stretch of the imagination that I actually get to speak one of these weeks, because worship is something that is on my heart. It's something that I'm passionate about. obviously, I've made it my job. So, but today I want to talk specifically on how we can get the most out of our Sunday morning services, out of our Sunday morning experience. And I want to talk about why we do what we do. Why do we lift our hands? Why do we sing? Why are those things so important to our Sunday morning services? Is it how we feel about them? Is it the way that they make us feel? Is it a way that we express ourselves to God? Is it a way in response to what God has done for us and who God is? And the answer is really all of those things. We use music, we use singing, we lift our hands for all of these reasons. But over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about how humans are instinctively worshiping creatures, that we all have to worship something. We all have to worship something. And no matter your denomination or background or where you came from, whether you believe in God or not, the truth is we all worship something. We worship what is most important to us. Cicero, in the first century B.C., observed that religion, no matter of its form, is a universal human trait, that we all worship something. The psalmist expressed this when he wrote in Psalm 42:1, he said, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God." So seeing that we are all worshiping creatures, we are all people who worship something, the question that I want to ask is, what is worship in the context of Sunday morning? What is worship when it comes to our service? We've talked for the last couple of weeks on the series and what is worship. And by definition, we know that worship is our response to something or someone that demonstrates worth or value. Our worship, we worship what is most important to us, something that is valuable to us. So understanding the definition of worship and understanding why music is so important to us, for just a few minutes, I want to give you a glimpse into my week. I want to give you a glimpse into what I do each week and how we orchestrate these songs. Some of you may think that we have this basket of paper, and Rob and I sit in our office and we grab these pieces of paper and we throw them and see which songs work together. Sometimes, but most of the time, I'm kidding, that was a joke. But most of the time, what we do is we have this method, and you've heard Rob talk about it on several occasions. We have this way of forming our worship set, our worship services, and much prayer and intentionality goes into it because we want to give God our best. We want to prepare as best we can, knowing that He requires that from us. The first thing that we do is we have what is called a gathering song. And a gathering song is a song that is unique from all of the other songs because what a gathering song does is it bridges the gap between the front door and the throne room. And what I mean by that is whether you have been in church for 50 years and you grew up in church, you are a lifetime Christian. Can I hear it for all the lifetime Christians? I'm one of those. If you're not a lifetime Christian, if say this is your first Sunday here and you know nothing about God, the cool thing about this song is it gives us the opportunity for those who have been in church our entire life and those of us who have never been in church to come together. And it challenges us to sing in a way that we've never sung before. We know that some of you may have just dropped your crazy kids off at Guts, and I can say that because I have a crazy 2-year-old and he is crazy sometimes. But some of you may have just dropped your kids off at Guts, or some of you may be running late, and this song is a way that you can just turn it all off. You can shut it all off and look toward God, and all of your attention can be on Him. The second song that we do is called a testimonial song. And this song it speaks for itself. It is a song about testimony. It's a song about what God's done in our life. And this morning, you may be in a time of trial, you may be in a time of celebration, but we can all sing of God's faithfulness because we've all seen it. My wife and I, over the last year, have went through some things that nobody should ever have to go through, and even through all of that, we can still say that God is faithful. For that, we're standing here, so God is faithful. Our marriage didn't fall apart, so God is faithful. So even in the moments where we feel like we don't have any faith, we can still say that God is faithful. So this song allows us to proclaim of that. It's our response to what God has done in our lives. And the last one the third one. We call this our vertical song, and I think Rob has spoken about this the most. And this is my favorite moment. This is the part of the service that is like anything else. And you know it because of what it is. And we just had it. We all sang, "I exalt thee," and everybody's hands are lifted, and everybody's just pouring out their worship to God. That is a vertical moment. A vertical moment's not about me. It's not about what God is doing for me. It's not about what God has done for me. It's about my response to who God is. It's my response to God's greatness, how worthy he is, how awesome he is. That's what our vertical moment is. From my perspective as a worship pastor, Sunday morning is this. Sunday morning is a journey that I want to invite you guys on every single week. Sunday morning is a journey where you come from the parking lot to the throne room, and I want to get all of us there as fast as possible so that when we get there, we can step back and say, okay, now it's not about us leading, it's not about you guys singing, but it's about all of us joining together with one voice and one accord, lifting up the name of Jesus. That's what our Sunday mornings are meant to be. It's meant to be all about God, for God, and who God is. And I hope this doesn't cheapen anything for you, but actually, I hope that it changes your mindset about Sunday morning. That Sunday morning has purpose. Sunday morning has intentionality. Sunday morning is more than just a day of the week that we come together and we sing and we're off, so we're going to go home and take a nap afterwards. Sunday morning has purpose. Sunday morning is important. And the faster we can connect with him, the faster we can step back and experience him together. So our response, or Sunday mornings are our response to who God is. Sunday morning are our response to how absolutely amazing he is. But unfortunately, in modern churches, worship has become all about me. Worship has become all about how much it pleases me. You see, worship, and I'm not trying to step on any toes, worship has nothing to do with you. It's not about you. In fact, when we come together, our complete desire should be to lift up the name of Jesus and desire more of him. Because when worship becomes more about us, when worship becomes more about me than God, that's idolatry. That's not worship. When worship becomes more about me than God, that is idolatry. And in fact, we have actually, catch this, over the last few months, we have talked about how our entire purpose for living is what? To glorify God. So I want to rephrase without changing it. If our entire purpose is to glory God, can we also say that our entire purpose in everything we do in life is to worship God, glorify him? So if worship is about him and it's not about me, when all of these things become the focus, I've actually idolized the very thing I was created to do. And I have placed it above the one who created me to do it. And that's a dangerous place to be. This morning in John 4:23, let's get into the Bible. How about that? John 4:23 says, "The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him." I'm going to read it one more time, and I want you to catch this last line that is so important. It says, "The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him." I don't know how it is for you guys, but sometimes I get caught up in this. And I'm just going to be honest and transparent with you. Sometimes I get caught up in the light. Sometimes I get caught up in how well the sound sounds. I get caught up in material things. And what I want to say this morning is when we make it about the sound, if the sound is too loud or the sound is too quiet, when we make it about the lights, when it is not dark enough or it is too dark. I am one of those that it needs to be completely dark in here because I want to worship, and somebody else might see me if the lights are on, and we can't worship with the lights are on because it sets the mood, it sets the atmosphere. That may be you, that may not be you. But when we make it about these things, we have idolized what we were created to do. We have idolized this thing called worship. A few weeks ago, Rob and I were boxering back and forth. And for those of you who do not know who Boxer is, yes, it was popular 10 years ago, and yes, we still use it. But Boxer is an app on your phone that you can get, and it kind of works like a walkie-talkie. What it does is it gets me out of talking on the phone, because there's nothing I hate more than talking on the phone. So if you want to get in touch with me, text me or Voxer me. Those are the two ways that I kind of communicate. So we will Voxer back and forth all the time, and it's kind of become a running joke because it's got like a special ring to it, and every time it goes off, my wife's like, what are y'all talking about now? We will Voxer each other like 16 times a day. We actually Voxer each other from our offices, and they are 10 feet apart because I don't know why we do it, but we just do it. So we were Voxering a few weeks back, and it was a Saturday night, and a storm had literally just come through, and we had no power in the church on Saturday night, and we had been talking with Duke Energy, we'd been talking with the guys at Sile, and we're like, we're not sure if we're going to have sound or lights or anything on Sunday morning. We're not even sure if we're going to have air conditioners. So we're Voxering back and forth, like, okay, how do we get fans in here? We got to figure this out, because we can't have church on Sunday without electricity. And in that moment, I'm like, it was almost like God spoke to me in that moment and said, have these things become necessary for you to worship me? And when we think about it in this way, we know what our answer should be. I know what I want my answer to be, but if we're being honest, what would our answer be? This morning, it may not be about the lights. It may not be about the sound. It may have nothing to do with anything up here on Sunday morning that prevents you from worshiping, that prevents you from giving everything you have. But what is? Is it the meeting that you have tomorrow that you can't get out of your head? Is it the fight that you have with your spouse on the way to church? Because, come on, we all have them, right? Okay, I'm the only honest one. That's fine. That's fine. But what is it that is preventing you from just stepping in and saying, okay, God, I've got all this stuff going on. I've got everything on my mind. But right now, for the next hour and a half, I'm going to focus all on you because you are worthy of it and you are amazing. And none of this stuff can compare to who you are. What's keeping us from that? Maybe, and this is a big one for me, this is one that I've dealt with. Last week, Pastor Rob dealt with pride. So this morning, pride may be one of the reasons that you can't worship. If I lift my hands, somebody might see me. If I sing too loud, somebody might hear me. I would challenge you to do this. Ask God to search your heart and say, God, what is it in me that is keeping me from worshiping you? What is it that's preventing me from just laying it all out there and say, God, I surrender to you. God, I worship you for everything that you are. Let's make this our prayer. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. And it's on the screen. But it says, David is saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any way in me, any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So this morning, what is it that's inhibiting our worship? We should be able to get to the place where we say, God, I'm going to worship you because I have a relationship with my Heavenly Father that far supersedes any variable or any theatrical enhancement, because it's not about the lights. It's not about the sound. It's not about the songs that we sing. Everything we do on Sunday morning is for Him. And when it becomes about a show or it becomes about a performance or how well somebody does or how well you like the message or don't like the message.
Come on, somebody.
I figured that would get one out of him. When it becomes about that, again, we have idolized the very thing we were created to do. And this is my job. This is what I do on a weekly basis. I don't preach, but I lead worship, and I lead this team and the creative department, and I'm up here saying, me too. I understand. I get it. Some of the things that you guys deal with, I deal with. I'm not up here on stage saying, hey, do this, fix this, change this. This is how you get the most out of worship. Because I'm going through it too. I deal with pride. I'm honestly dealing with it right now. What are they going to think about what I say next? How are they going to respond to what I say? I sometimes let how I am feeling dictate how I worship. And I'm here saying me too. If I'm honest, I sometimes don't feel like laying it all out there on Sunday morning. Sometimes I just don't feel like it. And I let material things such as pride or my comfort get in the way of my worship. This morning, I want to throw this question out. We've talked about all the issues and we've talked about everything that we can do to cause a problem in our worship, but then the question becomes, well, how do we fix it? How do we make anything different? Because we all deal with junk. We deal with pride. We deal with, I don't really want to. I don't feel like it. I say that it's not about Sunday so much as it is Monday through Saturday. It has to start on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And then we're going to roll into Sunday with this momentum that has been the culmination of the other 6 weeks. And if each one of us are doing that, then we're going to come together and we are literally going to explode with passion for Jesus. And if there's one thing that will make me smile from ear to ear is all of the hands in this place raised in us worshiping Jesus. A worship leader's greatest desire is to worship. So the faster we can step back and not lead and all worship together, I mean, I think I speak for everybody on stage is that's what we want. How do we get there? It has to be the other 6 days. It has to start there. It has to start on our knees during the week. Sunday morning isn't where worship starts. And when we change this transition of thinking, when we transition to this mindset, Sunday morning is not where worship starts. But I grew up in a church that Sunday morning was worship. Sunday morning was our worship time, but Sunday morning is not where worship starts. Sunday morning is where we all come together and our worship is made complete as we join with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Worship must be greater than Sunday morning. When we come together on Sunday morning, we're lifting our hands and we're pouring our all out to God. That is definitely worship. That is most definitely worship. But if Sunday morning is not where worship starts, then it must begin somewhere else. Worship must start from somewhere else. And if we want to see revival in our city and in our church, like I want to, and I know you guys do too, then it has to start on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Worship has to be more than this. Worship is more than this. In my reading this week, I came across a scripture in Isaiah 29. And I'm going to give you guys a second to turn there. It's Isaiah 29, verse 13. And God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah to Israel. And I began to read this scripture, and I'm like, but God, this sounds like the American church. This sounds like us. And he says, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they've been taught. Now, let me break this down. These people come near to me with their mouth. We sing like nobody's business. We are the loudest singers in church. I don't care if somebody hears me. I'm just going to sing. And we lift our hands because that's what we do. And we know of God only because the pastor tells us who he is. And then we come in here and we worship and we're missing it, because what God wants most is a personal relationship with us. That is the beginning of true worship. It starts with a true personal relationship with God. And when I read that, when I read that verse, and I just kind of stood up in faith, and I'm like, not my church. My church will not be an Isaiah 29:13 church. That is not my church. My church will be a John 4:23 church. My church will be a church known for their worship. My church will be a church of true worshipers. This morning, I want to alleviate some stress. If you've come in here and you think that this is all worship is, if lifting your hands isn't your thing, if acting like the crazy extroverted worshiper like half of us on stage this morning, if that's not your thing, that's totally fine, because we all worship differently. We talked about it in the beginning. We worship intellectually. Some of you guys just kind of stand here like this and worship. That's fine. If that's how you do it, that's fine. Some of you are the loudest singers. That's fine. Some of you like have to move. You can't contain your enthusiasm, and that's fine. All of these things are expressions of worship. But this is not where worship starts. This is not all worship is. Worship in its purest form is more than an action on Sunday. If we're going to be known for our worship, if we're going to be a church like John 4:23, then worship needs to look like this. Worship is the guy on the side of the road that you give one of the homeless bags to that we made a few months ago, and you share Jesus, and then he comes to Christ. Worship needs to look like the way that you love your husband or your wife. Worship needs to look like how you listen to your parents and you obey your parents as the Bible tells you to. Because worship is both an expression, it's our expression to God, but it's also an extension of who God is to everybody else we come in contact with. That is worship. You cannot do one without the other and call it worship. It's both inside this building, it's outside this building. Worship is more than Sunday morning. Worship must begin and end with Christ. So really quick, I want to give you guys three things that you can take away. So if you're taking notes, you can jot this down there. But last week, Pastor Rob was talking about how some of us like lists, and I am definitely in that category. I love lists. So I'm going to give you guys three things, a list of how to make your Sunday mornings great. Number one, be regular at appointed times of worship right now, what we're doing right now. Be regular here. And you guys are here on Memorial Day weekend, and I am like high-fiving you right now, because you guys are it for showing up on Memorial Day weekend. So we can just skip number one for you guys because you're here. But it has become increasingly popular for us to miss church like it's not important. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." When you pull a log out of a fire, what happens? The fire goes out. And the more logs that you pull out, the more the fire begins to die. The same thing goes for our worship together. If you don't show up, if you're not here, if you're not worshiping together, our personal time with God is so, so, so important. But no, don't neglect Sunday morning. Number two, cultivate the practice of unscheduled worship. Each of us has time during the day to just downtime. I get it. We're all busy. We all have things going on. But even the busiest person in here can say, yeah, I got 5 minutes. I got 10 minutes. I have a lunch break. I would say, instead of turning on the TV or taking a nap or texting or checking Facebook or social media, let's spend that time with the Lord. And then we will begin to redeem this thing called worship. And I totally skipped two. We're going to go back to two. Okay, we'll make it three. That's fine. Be regular at appointed times of personal worship. It's also become widespread for Christians to plan time with God while cutting the grass or showering or watching TV or eating dinner or whatever. That's fine, but don't neglect personal quiet time with God. Make your time with God a priority and see your Sunday mornings change. See your worship time with God change. Paul says in Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. But there's something in this verse that I want you to catch. Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. See, we all offer sacrifices to God, whether it's our time, our talent, our money, what we treasure most. But what Paul is talking about is none of that. When we change our mindset, when we change our thinking to we are the sacrifice that God desires most. And that's what Paul is saying, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. There's nothing that God desires more than a relationship with you. And this morning, relationships, they take two things, right? They take time and more time. Relationships take time. And next to Jesus, I'm going to pick on her a little bit because this may be the only time I ever get up here. Next to Jesus, my relationship with my wife is literally the most important thing in my life. And I've been married almost 4 years. We've known each other about seven, or we've been together about seven. And I have learned that my time with her is valuable. It doesn't matter how many times I tell her I love you if I'm not investing time in her. And a nugget for all of you married people in here, your time with your wife or your husband, your relationship will ever only be as strong as the amount of time you have invested in it. The same thing goes for our relationship with God. The same thing goes for our personal worship. Worship is about the relationship. And I'm going to close with this. So, band, you guys can come up. My wife and I have a 2-year-old son. His name is Aiden. If you do not know Aiden, then you are missing out because he wins the cutest kid award ever, period, hands down. There's no competition, so I'm sorry for those of you who have kids, mine wins. But we have a 2-year-old son. His name is Aiden. And a little backstory on Aiden and where his name came from. Aiden means little fire. So we named him Aiden Micah. Micah means who is like God. So my wife and I, in our spiritual nature, I guess, decided we're going to name our kids something that maybe, perhaps, it will shape their character and shape their personality one day. And it did. We're still waiting on the Micah part. But Aiden is this crazy ball of fire that is passionate about everything. He's passionate about Mickey and Goofy and Duck and Daisy and all of these things. But we are absolutely crazy about this kid. There's something about my relationship with my son, and it trumps everything because of our relationship, the way that I feel about him. But what do kids do? They get hurt. Daddy, pick me up. They get in trouble. Daddy, they're hurt. Daddy, they're scared. Daddy. Sometimes it feels like his need for me is solely dependent on his current circumstances. Like, he only needs me when he needs me. And I wonder if God can say the same thing about us. I wonder if our relationship is with God is based on us, based on what we need, based on what we want. But there are other moments. There are special moments. And parents, you know what I'm talking about. Those moments that literally just make you want to melt. It gets me every time when I come home from work. And I've been gone all day. And he literally runs up to me and says, Daddy! And it's not because he's hurt. It's not because he missed me. He wants to spend time with me. Or my favorite moments is when we're sitting in our recliner. And he sees me out of the corner of his eye. And it's literally the cutest thing ever. But he cuts his eyes and he grins, and then he just hauls butt like toward me. And no matter what obstacles are in his way or how far I am from him, he's literally going to leap into my lap with no regard for what he may or may not be crushing. He's literally just going to leap in my lap because he wants to spend time with me. He doesn't do this. But he leaps into my lap because we have a relationship that says he can do that. No questions asked. I'm his father, and he knows that anytime he needs me. That's true relationship. In fact, that's what makes this possible. The time we're spending together. Without that time, there'd be no this. He would just be another kid. But he's not. He's my son, and I love him, and we spend time together. For many of us, worship needs to start at home. Worship is this. Without a doubt. But this is not it. This isn't even where worship starts. This is great. This is wonderful. But I would say that worship needs to start here. Not here. Because when we're here, everything begins to change. Our perspective begins to change. When we're in the presence of God, nothing else matters. So this morning, I want to challenge you. Whatever it is that is hindering you from that relationship with God, he wants that relationship more than anything else. He wants this, but you can't have this without first having a relationship. And he desires that above anything else you can give him. We are the sacrifice he desires most. All we have to do is stand up, hands lifted, and say, "Here I am. Here I am to worship."
If you're not already a part of Orlando North, please know that we'd love to have you come visit us on Sunday morning at 10:30 for our weekly worship service. We're located at 1021 Douglas Avenue in Altamont Springs, Florida. Come as you are and be welcomed by a church that is eager to connect with you. For more information about our church, you can check us out on the web at orlandonorth.com.